in the service this morning, as everyone here, of course, and those watching, by way of social media. He is the bread of life, no question about it.
Amen.
He's got all the answers. Mm-hmm. Amen. Like I've said before, he doesn't ever have to go look up answers in Google. He doesn't have to Google it. Woo, glory.
Hallelujah.
Mm-hmm. What a God. Everywhere present at the same time. Can do anything about everything. Knows everything about everything. Amen? What a mighty God we serve indeed. Amen, amen, amen. So we've been talking about how that we are victors, not victims. Glory to God. And part of that is the song we just got through singing, because he took our place.
Amen.
Amen. But for him, we would be victims. We would be at the mercy of the devil. Ooh, I'm so glad I'm not.
Amen.
Neither are you, if you believe it. Mm-hmm. We would have no choice but to end up in hell. But he took our place.
Amen.
He took our place. Gave us a choice. A different choice to make. Made us victors, not victims. And so we talked about flood, we talked about fire, and talked about the airplane crash. And then this thing sounds otherworldly. It sounds like it's way out there. But this is just Bible, right? Mm-hmm. It's just Bible. A gardener can have a man stretch a rod over a body of water, and that body of water just make a highway in the middle of it. What else can he not do?
Amen.
To protect his loved ones? The ones that believe him for direction and for victory. So it sounds far-fetched, but it really isn't. It's only because we've not really, the Bible has become a religious book instead of a manual for life. Huh? Mm-hmm. Amen. That's why some of this sounds like, oh, well, you know, I mean, really? Pastor, be real. All right, so it turns out that the captain of that Air India airplane deliberately turned off the fuel for the engines right after takeoff. Imagine that. Imagine someone who went to flight school to learn to fly, to take people from point one to B. Mm. I mean, you know, if some terrorist or something got on the plane and did that, you know, you're like, okay, well, you know. But the captain. So, point is, we live in a world that is, seems like it's getting more and more unpredictable. But all this book is predictable. Woo, Jesus is predictable. Somebody says that. You never know what God's going to do. If you read the book, you find out. Oh yeah, he laid it out for you. He laid it out for exactly what he'll do. What he has done, will do, is doing, gonna do. The rapture is coming, you know that, right? Oh yeah, one of these days the trumpet's going to sound. And the dead in Christ shall rise. He's already said that.
Yes.
Don't talk about, hey, you don't know what God's going to do. Yes, you do if you read the book. He's not a man that he should lie. Amen. He doesn't say one thing in his book and then do the other. So the world might be getting unpredictable, but oh, we serve a God that is predictable.
Hallelujah.
His love is predictable. Amen. And dependable.
Amen.
So it's his peace and his joy. Woo, glory. Amen. And so the time has come for us to draw even closer and closer to him. Because that's the only place of safety. I mean, if a captain of an airplane, imagine that. The captain. Not some random, you know, passenger or somebody who's in there. Amen. And then I found out there's an AI app now. It's called Death Talk. I don't know if you knew, but I didn't know about that. I just found out that it can tell you when you're going to die. If you don't change some things, here's when you're going to die. Unless you, because you know, you feed it some info, and then it tells you, okay, well, if you don't do this, do that, do that, you're going to die. Somebody said, what if it says you're going to die tomorrow? What you do? Woo! But see, you can't predict the airplane stuff, can it? Mm. Oh no, can't predict that. Now we all know, we kind of have some idea about some things that we could do to improve our health and stuff like that, right? But what about things like the airplane and floods and stuff like that? And I can't predict that. Oh, they have some folks that predict when it's going to happen, but apparently they don't always get it right. But oh, Jesus gets it right every time.
Amen.
Hallelujah. My, that's an app I'm not going to get. I don't know about you. Because I already know when I'm going to die. See, you say stuff like that and it sounds so braggadocious. Huh? Well, I want to show you some scriptures. Amen.
Amen.
Jesus knew when he was going to die, did he not? Didn't he? Amen. He knew. He said, it is finished. And he breathed his breath and gave up the ghost, the Bible said. He gave it up. It wasn't taken from him. And he came to be an example for us.
Amen.
But we have lived so far from what he did for us that when we hear things like that, we may think it's over there. All right, look at Genesis 49. Let me either remind you of this or let you know for the first time. Hallelujah. We live on, you know, certain times, but our faith is certain.
Amen.
Here's Jacob. Time has come to die. And he prepares to die. Chapter 49, Genesis 49. And Jacob, verse 1, called unto his sons and said to them, gather yourselves together that I may tell you that which shall befall you in the last days. And so he goes through all of that. And you can read the rest of the chapter for yourself. And then he comes to the end of it. Look at verse number 33. And when Jacob had made an end of commanding his sons, he not some nursing aid by his side because he could hardly move his feet. Amen. He gathered up his feet. Why is the Bible so plain about it? Because this is what we're going to. Remember now, this is Old Testament. This is Old Covenant. Not nearly as good as our covenant.
Amen.
He gathered up his feet into the bed and he yielded up the ghost and was gathered up to his people. He decided the second he died. Didn't he? Called his family, gave them last minute instructions. Apparently was sitting on the side of the bed. Laid back, put his feet on the bed, and said, I'll see y'all later. And checked out. That's dying by faith.
Amen.
Look at the book of Luke, chapter 4. So I just want you to know what I just said is not something I made up. On certain days that we live in, times when we have to press into scripture. Luke chapter 4, verse 18. You're familiar with this. Jesus comes to his hometown, starts to preach. This is the Spirit of God upon me. He has anointed me to preach the gospel. And he goes through all that. And they didn't like what he said. Look at verse 28. And all they in the synagogue, when they heard these things, were filled with wrath. It's one thing to be angry, but to be full of wrath. They were upset. And decided to do something about it. They rose up and thrust him out of the city. It didn't say they led him. They thrust him. You get a picture of that? And led him into the brow of the hill, whereon their city was built, that they might cast him down headlong. Is that the way he was supposed to die? Oh, no. Oh, no. He wasn't supposed to die like that. Huh? We know the place and the manner he was supposed to die. He was supposed to die on the cross. So what are these folks doing? What do they think they're doing? What does that airplane with you on it think it's doing?
Amen.
What does that cancer in your body think it's doing? That wasn't the way you're supposed to go.
Amen.
That wasn't the way Jacob went. I know it sounds radical, but this is Christianity.
Amen.
This is living delivered by the blood. And so I imagine Jesus thinking, wait a minute, what's going on here? These folks, I'm not supposed to die this way. Huh? If I die like this, Sheila is going to have to go to hell. I can't do that. I'm going to die on the cross. So apparently Jesus decided, no, okay, this is enough. I've gone along with this long enough. When are you going to decide that cancer has bugged you enough? Amen. Arthritis. Pain.
Jesus.
When are you going to decide I've tolerated this enough? And so he thought, no, this is, no. And so then he turned around. He says, but he. Huh? So they're leading him one way, trusting him. And then he thinks, no. He could see the hill by now. He could see the gully. They would have thrown him down. Head first. This man could kill him. So he turns around, and the anointing comes up on him. And the boldness with which he turns around. When you read scripture, picture yourself there. Imagine what it must have been like. Huh? That's called meditating the scriptures. Put yourself there. So they're leading him, they're pushing him around, and he turns around. And the Bible says, he passing through the midst of them went his way. It was fed up with that. He said, no, this is not supposed to happen this way. Just turns around and just walks away. Walks until he could finally end up on the cross. That's what happened. Amen?
Amen.
When are you going to do that? Walk away. And decide that you've gone along with this too much. This pain that keeps nibbling you.
Yes.
Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. We are victors, not victims.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Look at the Gospel of John. John chapter 10. John chapter 10. The time has come for radical Christianity, folks. We've tolerated stuff too much. We've lived way, way far beneath our dignity. Beneath the privileges of the cross. Things that die for us to enjoy. John chapter 10. Look at verse 17. It says, therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life. I lay down my life. I lay down. Cancer didn't take it. Arthritis didn't. Heart disease didn't. Airplane crashes didn't. Floods didn't. Fires didn't. I lay down. Again, you know, it's radical, but it's about time we got radical about this stuff. Amen?
Amen.
I lay down my life that I might take it up again. No man takes it from me. You remember when Peter tried to help him out, he said, no, Peter, put your sword up. I'm not doing this because I don't have a choice. I lay down my life by choice. And I'm trying to tell you, it is your privilege, because of the blood of Jesus, to lay down your life by choice. It is your privilege. If you believe it, go for it. If you don't, then you go ahead and die like any born again person. You know? Hallelujah. Look at 2 Timothy. We live in times that are getting more and more. Oh my. But thank God for Jesus.
Amen.
Thank God for the blood.
Amen.
Woo, glory. Amen. I plead the blood.
Amen.
Without it, we would be victims. Amen. But with it, we are the victors. Amen. 2 Timothy, look at chapter number 4. Here is Paul telling all of us, and if you read the scriptures, I did this some time ago, but they tried to kill him, I don't know how many times, Paul. Many, many times. Okay? But they couldn't, because it wasn't time yet for him to go. But now it's time. He says, verse number 6, 2 Timothy chapter 4, for I am now ready, which means he wasn't ready before. My goodness. Just like Jesus, right? Just like Jesus. He wasn't ready before. Had to be on the cross. There was a place. Jacob picked a place in his bed. I don't know about you, but I picture me a large bedroom, larger than what I have now. Contain all my keys and grandkeys and great grandkeys and great great grandkeys. Grandpa's about to check out, guys. Think of that. It just sounds so foreign to us, doesn't it? That you could call such a meeting like Jacob called. Get all the kids and the grandkids and the great-great-grandkids. Get them up here. Grandpa is about to check out. And he has some last words. Jesus did about the same. He told John, hey, here's your mother. Mother, here's your child. Because I'm going to be gone in a minute here. Paul said, I'm now ready. Wasn't before, but I'm now ready. And the time of my departure is at hand. Then we'll talk about old age. Because the doctor said you're going to die in 3 weeks. Don't talk about that. Amen?
Amen.
I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. That's it. You live until you're done doing what Jesus laid on your heart to do for the kingdom.
Amen.
Don't you dare go before that. Otherwise, the rest of us have to pick up what you didn't do. That's not fair, is it? That would not be fair, right? I mean, you know, the Lord will be glad, the scripture says it, that he rejoices when one of his own come home. But you know, he might say, what about the rest of the stuff? Why don't you finish that first? Glad to see you, but, you know, you could have gotten that done first. Hallelujah. Amen. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. And so the time has come to go now. Mm. Not before. Mm. Not before. Saints, go for it. Mm. It's your right. It's your right. Mm. Like I've said before, what would happen, you know? What would happen if more and more and more and more Christians lived longer and longer and longer? Would this be a better world, you think? Oh yeah, it would be a better world, wouldn't it? It would be less killing and less this and less that and less the other. I mean, just practically speaking, Jesus did say for us to pray that his will be done on earth as it is in heaven. But folks seem like they are rushing to go to heaven. There's plenty to do down here, guys. Believe God, live long, and be resist the devil. Be one of the people, you know, that say no to you. At least more often than not. Bless God. Hallelujah. Amen.
Amen.
All right, look at 2 Peter. Peter 2 had this. There's plenty in the scripture about this. Living long. Would long like I'll satisfy you. Huh? Thank you, Lord. You get to say, it is God's will that you get to say when you go on to heaven. That's God's will. Perfect will. 2 Peter chapter 1. I know I've gone through some of these before, but if I were to ask you, what does it say there? Yeah, some of you would not know it, right? That's why we'll go over it again and again and again. I want this ground into your spirit that you know that you know, not because Pastor said it, but the scriptures say it. Verse number 12. Well, just say what I just said. Wherefore, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though you know them and be established in the present truth. Yea, I think it meet, as long as I am in this tabernacle. Talk about this body. To stir you up, but put you in remembrance, knowing that shortly I must put off this tabernacle. I must check out. Even as our Lord Jesus has shown me. Which means Peter and the Lord Jesus had a conference, a meeting, and talked about this. Huh? And talked about it. So when I tell you I know when I'm going to die, that's because I've talked about it in the Lord. Amen. And I'm not special, not any more than you are. Child of God, blood of Jesus, glory to God.
Amen.
Living for it. The Lord has showed me. Has he showed you? I don't know. What have you asked him? Have you talked about it? Talk with him about it. Or are you planning to live just as long as your retirement funds end? Almost every time I get on the internet, you're like, how to invest $1 million so you live. How much money you got to live? How far can you live with your savings? I'm like, you don't want to know. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. So just to remind you that in the midst of the captain of an airplane deciding that he's going to cut off fuel to the airplane, my goodness. If you were sitting there and you had talked this over with the Lord, he would find a way to fly that plane.
Amen. Yes.
Yes. Amen. That may come as a shock to some of you, but you got to think like that. You got to think like that. Let me say this. If you were God and your child, brother, sister, mother, father, were in an airplane like that, and you could save them, would you do it? And if you would, don't you think he will? Because all that you couldn't do, but he can. Can he not? Hallelujah. All he has to have is our faith. That's it. Believing for it. Expecting it. But if you don't, then his hands are tied. Absolutely tied. And so we talked about how this protection works. And I told you last week that he may tell you you're planning a trip. He may tell you, cancel it. Don't go. Or don't go today. Or don't go by this means. So all of this is a package. This doesn't happen haphazardly. You have to be walking with him, listening to him, being led by him, being directed by him, having your life planned by him. Amen? Because he's the master tour guide. Glory to God. My. He'll take you by the scenic route. Where the best sights are. But you have to be following. And so the question is, how would I know it's the Lord?
Truth.
Well, how would you know if it were me? If I called you on the phone, how would you know it were me? Because you're familiar with my voice. I mean, a long time ago, our son, he would, every time he called me, he would say, "Dad, this is Amen." I'm like, "Boy, I don't know if that is you. You don't tell me that." After a couple of times, that he quit. Bless his heart, so polite. So yeah, that felt like, okay, well, you may be busy right now, but it's me. So listen. How do you know it's me? Because you're familiar with my voice. So when you get familiar with God, his voice, you will know it's him. Look at John chapter 10. You have to be confident that you are able to hear God. If you're born again, you are absolutely able to hear God. Amen. Unlike the Old Testament, where believers have to go to a prophet to hear God, you can hear God for yourself. Oh, folks like me are a guide, are a help. That's it. Mm-hmm. We're here to help you discern the voice of God, what God said, teach you the word, but you can hear God. He is the best communicator there ever was. Yeah. He can say it in a way that you can't miss it. Amen. Have confidence in that. Be confident you can hear God. You can tell what God is telling you to do. Amen. He says right here, look at John chapter 10. It says, verse 9, I am the door. Let's go to verse 11. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. So that must make all of us sheep, right? Mm-hmm. Because he's gave his life for us, didn't he? Mm-hmm. We just sang about it. Mm-hmm. Okay, well now, here's what sheep do. Okay, look at verse 14. I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and I'm known of my sheep. So that means you know him. Mm-hmm. Believe that. Don't say, yeah, but believe that. If he said it, it must be so, right? He's not a man that he should lie. He said it. He said you know him. You are sheep. He died for you. You are sheep. He knows you. You know him. Believe that. And then he says, okay. Hold on. Let me look where I'm going. I'm trying to save time here. I've got an hour and a half left to preach to. Look at verse 18. I know that's what I'm looking for. Look at verse 27. Verse 27. My sheep, we've just established that you are his sheep, right? Okay, look at verse 12 again. No. Slow down. Look at verse number, verse 11. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. He gave his life for us, right? So we must be the sheep he's talking about, right? Okay, now look at verse 27. My sheep, that's us, huh? My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. How are they able to follow me? Because they can tell it's me talking. Believe that. Don't doubt it. He said it. It must be so. Problem is, we're like, well, I don't know if that's God or not. We doubt our ability to hear him. And he's saying, right here, no, don't do that anymore. Yeah, but I might miss a mistake. Knowing you, you probably will. Knowing me, I probably will. Huh? But did you stop? Did you stop? The first time you got on the bicycle and you fell, did you stop? Did you get back on it again? Amen? Amen? Oh yeah, you got back on it back again. Maybe fell a couple more times and then and then finally, hey, here we go. Amen. So he will let you know, and if you follow his directions, he'll keep you safe. He'll protect you. Okay? So how would you know it's the Lord? Trust that you know. Believe that. You are his sheep. He's a good communicator, right? A good communicator communicates the message in the way that the people who are supposed to get it. And he's the best in the business. Oh my. He's the best in the business. He knows what to say, how to say it, when to say it, so you'll get it. Believe that. But if you don't, then it's going to mess things up. If you think, well, I don't know. I've been to seminary. I don't know Greek. I don't know Hebrew. He didn't say that. So have confidence that it can lead you. How would you know it's the Lord? Because you're sheep. And he's a shepherd. And he said his shepherd, his sheep know him. So just take that for granted. Okay? Familiarity. Here's a place. Here's one of those things where practice makes perfect. You might miss it now and then. There's not a Christian who hasn't, done something, said something, gone in a certain direction, and let the founder, that wasn't exactly the law. But you don't quit. You get better. Next time you know better, not to go like that. Amen?
Amen.
So that's how you know. Okay? Because you're sheep. Now, here's a, look at Proverbs 8. We're talking about how to stay safe in these uncertain times. The Lord will lead us and to have confidence that we can hear him. And one of the most important disciplines of the Christian walk is what we call the quiet time. The quiet time. The quiet time. That is time that we spend with God daily, early and daily. The earlier the better. First thing you do when you get up, spend some time with the Lord. I don't care if it's 1 minute. There have been days when, my fault, got my days messed up and was already headed out to go in the garage, get in the car, and I thought, oop, came back up on the scripture and read the meaning of two of it. Literally, I'm not making this up. In fact, Oral Roberts said the same. and then of course you don't do that every day, right? If you do that every day, there's a problem there, right? Yeah, you gotta change your schedule. Quiet time, daily and early. Put him first. Get familiar. This is his love letter to you. The more you read it, the more you know his voice. Huh? The more you hear teaching from it, the more you know his voice. And the more you spend time with him, the more you know his voice. I remember the 60s, the 60s, stuff going on. God is dead, God is dead, God is dead. So somebody stuck a microphone in front of Billy Graham and said, what do you think about this God is dead business? Ah,
fine. Says, well, really? I talked to him this morning, and he was fine. Amen?
Okay, what did I say? Proverbs, did I tell you who in Proverbs?
Eight.
Proverbs 8. Look at verse number 17. I love them. This is wisdom speaking. Okay, look at verse 1. Doth not wisdom cry? What wisdom? What's wisdom? Who's wisdom? That's God. Amen. Wisdom says, I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me. Huh? Quiet time, early and daily. To develop familiarity with the voice of God, you know, and know His leading, because He would lead you and guide you. He may have told you, don't get on that airplane, that crazy, you know, crazy captain's about to turn the thing off of it. Huh? That may be one way He leads you. Amen. Okay. Look at verse 34, the same chapter, verse 34. Early and daily. Blessed is the man. Remember, man in Bible means man, male and female. Look about that yesterday. That word, that M should be capitalized. Blessed is the man that heareth me, watching daily at my gates. If we were not home, let's assume that we were downtown Austin or something, and it was lunch break. Yeah, you just and ask you, where is your Bible? Could you in your mind know exactly where it was? If you couldn't, you need to get to where you could. You should go to where you could. We're talking about habits. Amen. That's part of what it takes to get very familiar with the voice of God, so He can lead you and guide you and keep you safe. Look at Isaiah 26. Isaiah 26, verse 9. With my soul have I desired thee in the night. Yea, with my spirit within me will I seek thee early. Huh? Often Jesus will go off early to go pray and seek God. And so the quiet time is a time of the day when we put God first, right? Before we talk to anybody, we talk to Him. Before we go out and deal with folks at work, we'll talk to Him. Amen. You should get to the point where you can spend an hour every day. I know that may seem like, whoo, hour. Hour. That's how long you spend watching that TV show you like. And then some, right? What does it do for you other than entertain you? Nothing. Them pay your bills, them heal you. In fact, you're paying their bills by watching that show. I finally figured that out. I mean, the time I wasted, my 20s and 30s, I watched soccer games after. I mean, I spent hours. And then later I thought, here sits a 40-some-odd-year-old guy watching a 20-some-odd-year-old millionaires kicking the ball around. I still watch soccer, but not near as much as I used to. In fact, now if it's not entertaining me, I just flip through it. If my team is getting whooped, I don't stand there and get, just suffocate and be with all my, no, I just skip through it. So as much time as you spend watching your TV show, work to where you give God an hour. Where did I get an hour from? He said it. Remember? He told Peter and the rest of them, what? Could you not watch with me 1 hour? You know, there are 23 other of those hours in a day, right? Surely you can find. Amen. Amen.
I'm talking about what it takes to be saved these days. We got to get closer to the Lord. To hear Him lead us and guide us as our tour guide to avoid things and get over things and so forth. Thank you, Lord. Now, here's this key scripture for all of this. Look at the book of Romans. Romans chapter 8. The key scripture, being led by the Lord, following Him, and avoiding or getting victory over the challenges of living life in these times. Romans chapter 8, look at verse 14. It says, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God." So you can flip that. Sons of God, daughters of God can expect to be led by the Spirit of God. You can expect it. He'll let you know. Listen, if God won't let you know, then He has no business expecting you to do what He wants you to do. I mean, what if you had a boss that never told you what you're supposed to do and didn't expect you to do anyway? You would find another job, wouldn't you? Mm-hmm. I will. If you're going to grade me or, you know, at the end of the year, check how well I've done my job, and you haven't told me what to do, what am I supposed to do? The Lord will let you know what He wants you to do or not. He will. And so your mind, your heart should be, I'm a child of God. He'll lead me. He'll let me know. And by the way, when we say hearing the voice of God, we're not always hearing, we're not talking about word necessarily, right? In many cases, in some cases, it just seems like the thing to do. Amen? As you pray about it, especially in tongues. Hey, where we get, where we split the Christian church now? Tongues of the devil. There's not the other. Well, Paul said he preached, he spoke in tongues more than anybody. Was Paul of the devil? Let me find you that scripture. Put your finger there, we'll come back. I mean, that's a real resource. First Corinthians, I believe, chapter 14. Yeah, First Corinthians 14. Look at verse 18. First Corinthians 14, 18. "I thank my God," he was writing this letter to an entire church. And he says, "I thank my God, I speak with tongues more than you all put together." Think about it. Was he of the devil, Paul, the apostle? Or was he something that the devil is trying to keep us from doing because there's real, real benefit that comes out of it? But where we're on that, look at chapter 2 of that same book. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Chapter 14. Look at chapter 14. Chapter 14. "For he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but speaks to God. No man understands him. However, in the spirit he speaks in mysteries." In other words, here's a methodology by which that which is a mystery to you can be brought to your mind where you comprehend it. Where the mystery can be undone and present in your mind so you know it. What a useful service when you don't know what to do. You start praying in tongues, and the mystery becomes clear. The thing becomes clear to you what you're supposed to do. That's what I mean by sometimes it just becomes like, okay, it becomes like this is the thing to do. And it's God leading you the whole time. So you're not necessarily looking to hear a voice or hear words. That's not the subject of the teaching, but that's a big part. Okay, so go back to Romans chapter 8. Okay, verse 14. "As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God." You can expect that. Okay, and then look at verse 16.
the Spirit himself, that word is better translated himself, because he is a person. The Spirit himself bears witness. Bears witness. It's hard to put that in words exactly. What does that mean? And here's the closest thing to it, or here's a close thing to it in the way people talk. When people say, my gut feeling. Where's your gut? Down here. Did you know that's also the location of your spirit? The innermost part of your being? And so naturally, people have latched onto it. They say gut when it's really the Spirit of God. So as you pray about what to do, where to go, all of that, often it'll just be seem like the thing to, especially, I keep saying that because it's so real, especially if you pray about it in tongues, in the Spirit. Because by the way, you're doing that, there's no better way to pray than to pray in tongues. No better way. That's a perfect way to pray. Because you're doing according to the Bible. Look right there. What is it? This is chapter 8. Just flip the page over in my Bible. And in verse number 27. And he that searcheth the heart, talk about the Spirit of God, knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because he makes intercession for the Spirit, for the saint, according to the will of God. Huh? When you pray in the Spirit, you can be sure that you're praying according to the will of God. When you pray in English, in the language you know, yeah, you might be praying the will of God. Often you are, but you may not. When you pray in tongues, you cannot miss it, because your mind has nothing to do with it. You're praying out of your spirit, where God lives, and uttering words that he is giving you to utter. Okay? But the point is that he can lead you, he will lead you and guide you, and this is how you know that you're a child of God, right? How do you know you're born again? How can you prove it? I received Jesus as my Lord, my Savior, but how can you prove it? I just know. I know that my Noah knows. And if you're born again, the same thing with you. You just know. You have a certainty and a confidence that you know. And here's how it happened. Right here in Romans chapter 8, it says verse 16, the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit. He lets us know down there where it counts the most, that we are the children of God. And this is the way he lets you know the most important question of life, right? This is also how he lets you know what else to do in life. He will lead you, he will guide you. You have to have confidence that you're a sheep, he's a shepherd, and you hear his voice. Amen. And by doing that, he will lead you and guide you and keep you safe. Amen. In the uncertain times that we're in. Being led by the Spirit has been described as a green light, red light. You're praying about something, should I or should I not? And the more you pray about it, the better you feel. It's not a good word, right? Because feel is depending on what you, the better you sense in your spirit that, okay, yeah, this is the thing to do. You couldn't prove it to someone, but you just know that you know. We're talking about you're praying about it, you're deciding, you know, you have a green light. Other times, it's just like, No, don't go there. Don't. Okay? Again, we'll talk about the context of you praying about this. Okay? And there could be, circumstances could be, okay, let's say that you're talking about something financial. The numbers all add up. You know, we can do this. You know, and then so let's do it. And then as you pray about it, you get this, Huh? Now, the reverse is also the case.
Oh, now this is where we the numbers don't add up. You cannot see in the natural how this would happen. But as you pray about it, you have this good sense in your spirit. Yeah, go for it. Yeah, but and so you put it off, and then you pray for you to start praying again, and then same thing. Huh? Amen. Red light, green light. Especially praying the Spirit. All right. So, if you have been green lighted to fly, here's what I do. Here's what my wife and I do. Get in that airplane, find your seat, take it. You know, it shouldn't really take that long to find your seat. You know what I mean? It's a child of God. It shouldn't take that long. You know where I'm going with this?
Yes.
Because you should be sitting way up there. You should be sitting way out there where they have big old seats. Shouldn't have to go all the way down there to find your seat. But you know, that's another story. Amen. As a child of God, that's where you should fly. Always. Amen. Hallelujah. But you know, get in there, find your seat, if you have to. And then take your seat, sit down, and take your little ticket out, that thing they give you. Look at it, and tell the devil where you're about to fly to, and in what shape you plan to get there, which means well.
Amen.
I do that every time I fly. Every time. Sit down, take your ticket, and say, look here, devil. We're going from Austin to such and such. Okay? And we're going to get there in one piece. We're not going to end up someplace else. Say, what if what? The Bible says God knows when one of your hairs falls down. Folks, we got to give him something to work with. Again, if that person we just talked about was your child or your brother, sister, right, your mother, father, huh, and you were in a position to always get them where they're going safely, would you do it? It's like Jesus said, if you being evil, being natural, know not to give your child a serpent, when he or she asks you for bread, how much more will he? How much more? We haven't given the Lord something to work with. We've assumed that our lives ought to be like everybody else's lives. The Bible doesn't teach that. So, take a seat and tell the devil what's going to happen. And lay back, and like Greyhound used to say, right? Leave the driving to us. In this case, leave the flying to the pilots, and if necessary, to your angel.
Amen.
Ooh, do you know you still have an angel? You don't lose your angel because you get it 40, 50, 60, whatever age you are. Man, you have protective detail.
Hallelujah.
Better than any head of state. If you believe it. And it only takes one. It doesn't take a whole slew of them. With dark glasses, all that. They don't need glasses on. They can see everything. Woo, glory. Look at this scripture. Look at Matthew 18. You probably remember this, but just to remind you. Matthew 18. You don't lose your angel because you become an adult. Woo! For too many Christians, their angels have been idle for way too long. I've had nothing to do because you won't talk God's word. You won't act on just anything. Verse 10, Matthew chapter, what did I tell you, chapter? Chapter 18. Take heed that you despise not one of these little ones, for I say unto you that in heaven, their angels
do always behold the face of my Father which is in heaven. That angel, you still have him. When you speak God's word, you authorize him to take charge. He'll take charge of that airplane. If necessary, he'll fly it. Amen. Think about this now. You know, airplanes, pilots, after a while they put that machine, they put it on autopilot. Huh? You just let machines do the flying. Well, if machines can do the flying, do you suppose your angel can? My goodness. Folks, we haven't given God much to work with. We really haven't. We haven't. Let's change that. What do you say?
Amen.
Let's change that. Let's give him more to work with. Amen. So we are victors, not victims. Victors, not victims. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Glory to God. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. Pray right now about. Here's the word that the Lord gave me. A wise course of action is not always godly, but a godly course of action is always wise. Sometimes we couch our natural wisdom. The Bible does talk about two kinds of wisdom. Book of James. Amen. Amen. Okay, I think I have 10 minutes more, do I not? I would let you go, but, you know, thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. You know, us preachers like to keep it short and sweet, but the devil doesn't necessarily think of that. Thank you, Father. Okay, let's talk for the next 10 minutes or so about another subject here. How to receive God's abundance. Look at Genesis 41. You know, the devil doesn't sleep or slumber either. You know that, right? And the more word you have in you, the more you can combat him with it. Joseph, Pharaoh has some dreams. Joseph has interpreted those dreams. And dream is first seven years are going to be full of plenty. The next seven are going to be tough, famine, all that. And so Joseph is appointed to be the person that would prepare for the 7 years of dearth and so on. So Genesis 41:49, the Bible says, "And Joseph gathered corn as the sand of the sea, very much, until he left numbering, for it was without number." Abundance is God's will for us. Absolute abundance. Again, we've gone from, you know, absolute protection to absolute abundance. He wants you to be loaded, because he is. Again, he's a good father. And again, it comes by paying attention, letting him lead you and guide you and direct you. Amen. So let me give you some conditions. We talked some about this. There are conditions of God's word. Amen. What we read, if we'll follow it, it'll work in our lives to the extent that we'll fulfill the conditions. So look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Let's start with salvation, for example. God is willing. The Bible says God is not willing that any should perish. But you know, and I know, that there are plenty that are perishing. Well, if he's not willing that any should perish, what's going on? Apparently, there must be some conditions that haven't been met yet. Amen. The 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. It says, "For he has made him to be sin for us," that's Jesus, "who knew no sin, that we might," see that word? "We might be made the righteousness of God in him." We might be implies that we might not be. Conditions. He wants all of us to receive his righteousness, but it's up to us. Conditions. Okay? You know about John 3:16, do you not? For God so loved the world. Well, you know what? Before that, look at Romans 4. Romans 4, chapter 3. Romans chapter 4, verse 3. Let's see how Abraham met this condition to become the righteousness of God. He met it. Romans 4, verse number 3. For what say the scripture? Abraham believed God. That was a condition. Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. God sent Jesus to die so that we might become his righteousness, but we have to believe. If we don't believe, that can't happen. God is not willing that any should perish. But there are plenty who are perishing, unfortunately, plenty who will perish because they won't believe. They won't go, they won't receive the gift of Jesus, or the shedding of the blood. And we must make sure that we don't fall into that when it comes to abundance. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him, there's that word again. What if they won't believe? Or they believe but they won't do anything else. You know, this not just believing, but just believing and acting on what you believe. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, whosoever believes in him should not perish. Huh? Should not. Which means they might. They might. Should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn it, but that through him the world might be saved. Might be saved. Might be saved, which means they may not. They might not be saved. Why? Because they refuse to believe and to receive him. And so, condition. There are also conditions, just like conditions for salvation, there are also conditions for receiving God's financial abundance. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 8. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Verse 9. There are conditions. Second Corinthians chapter 8. I'm over in Romans. No one is not written right. Second Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus, the anointed one, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. Might. Might. Didn't say that happened, whether anything happens or not. Might. Conditions. Conditions. Might be saved. Might be rich. Conditions. There are conditions to receiving God's abundance. Now, here, I will have just enough time to tell you this. How to receive God's abundance. There are seven key words. Seven key words. And it begins with your thinking. Greatly impacted by your thinking. Here's what the Lord told me. Your faith, that's one word. Your faith is the hand that receives from God. Everybody knows that. Okay? However, your thinking affects your faith. So, if you don't think, that's one word. That's what you're talking. If you don't think, and the next thing I'm going to say might hit you hard. If you don't think that you are entitled to it, that's the word. That word has a bad connotation, does it not? But scripturally speaking, we are entitled to salvation because of the blood.
Huh?
The blood entitles you to it. If you want it, you can have it. Amen. The blood of Jesus also entitles you to financial abundance. Absolutely does. It entitles you to divine health. Okay? So your thinking, okay? If you don't think that you are entitled to it, your faith, if you don't think you're entitled to it, and therefore you don't expect to have it, your faith cannot work to receive it, even though God has given it. Seven words. Amen. And each one of those words, we can teach on that for a while. We're not doing that today, of course, but your thinking is very, very crucial. If you don't think that you're entitled to the things that Jesus died for you to have, he's already dead. He died for you to have it. That's a done deal. But if you don't think that you're entitled to them, my children thought they were entitled to breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Right? And they were not wrong to think like that. Up to today, they think they're entitled to whatever is in that refrigerator. Amen? And they're not wrong to think like that. That's all we're saying. As a child of God, you are entitled to his provisions. But the problem is we don't think like that. We don't think like that. And that's a problem, a big one. So, if you don't think that you're entitled to what God, Jesus, died for you to have, you will not expect it. Huh? If you don't expect it, your faith will not work, because your faith has to work. In order for you to receive it, even though God has already given it. He has already given it. Same thing with salvation. Why is anybody not saved today? Anybody. Anyone on this planet. Why are they not born again? Is that because Jesus hasn't died for them? Not so. He already did. Why haven't they received Jesus? Maybe they haven't heard it. They heard it, don't care, don't believe it. Exact same thing with financial abundance. Amen?
Amen.
So, your faith is a hand that receives from God. But your thinking affects your faith. If you don't think that you are entitled to it. Again, entitled doesn't mean, you're not entitled at home with your spouse if you have one, children. We're not entitled at work. We're not talking about that. Okay, we'll talk about entitled to what Jesus died and shed his blood for you to have. He already paid for you to have it. That you're entitled to. And you're entitled to what the devil is concerned. Because he's the only one who will try to keep you from enjoying those things. We're not talking about a haughty, uppity kind of thinking because when you're dealing with people or expect them to do things. I'm not talking about that. We'll talk about having in mind that you're entitled to receive those things Jesus paid dearly for you to have. And salvation is not the only thing. In fact, well, actually the word salvation includes everything else. But we're separated. Okay. All right. Again, I'll read it one more time now. I'll quit. Your faith is a hand that receives from God. There's no doubt about that. Whatever it is. Salvation, healing, whatever. But your thinking affects your faith. Your thinking... your thinking neuters your faith. It makes it unproductive. Okay? And here's how. If you don't think that you're entitled to it, you will not expect to have it. Therefore, your faith cannot work to receive it, even though God has given it. Amen. That explains a lot. If anything Jesus died for you to have and you don't have it, that's why. One of those seven words hasn't been understood and put into practice well. My time is up. Thank you for yours. Father, we thank you. We praise you. We bless you, Lord. Thank you for your protection, your goodness, your leading, your guidance. Thank you for your abundance. Thank you for dying for us. Thank you for shedding your blood. Oh, Jesus, taking our place. See into it. The things you died for us to have, as long as we give you something to work with, we cannot be denied. We praise you, Father, and we bless you. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Is anybody here who doesn't know Jesus as Lord and Savior? Would like to? Anybody? And are born again, don't know Jesus as Lord and Savior? Would like to be? Those of you watching, we're on social media. Today is the day to get born again. Don't put it off. Put it off to tomorrow, next tomorrow. Today.
Amen.
Many have prayed for you. Some of the folks who have prayed for you don't even know them all. So here's the time to get born again. What does it take? Just being serious about it. Jesus did the hard part. He died, he was crucified, all of that. All you have to do is believe and receive his sacrifice on the cross. How do you do that? I'm glad you asked. I'm going to lead you in a prayer. If you pray this prayer with me and you mean it, you're not just going through the motion, but you mean it, at the end of it, you would have been born again. That's how simple it is, provided you mean it. Okay? So say this with me. Say, Jesus, come into my heart. Be my Lord. Be my Savior. I receive you now as my Lord and Savior. Thank you, Jesus, for dying for me. Lead me to a church that will teach me how to live a victorious Christian life. I thank you for that. I receive my prayer language. I receive my health. I receive my financial abundance. I receive my family, peace, and cohesion. Thank you for saving all of these situations in my life. Thank you for doing it, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. If you prayed that prayer, you meant it, you did exactly that. Okay? And so if you live in the Austin area, we've got plenty of room here for you. Come see us. It's better live than not. If not, keep watching. Because we'll be back here exactly the same time next week. We love you.